I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl. We have a border crisis. Illegal immigration is out of control. Just in 2023, 3.2 million immigrants crossed the border, with 285,000 citizens obtaining lawful resident status. We had 35,000 criminal convictions, 598 known gang members, 178 MS-13. They have seized 27,000 pounds of fentanyl, which is enough to kill 6 billion people. I'm Stephanie Coxon.
I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women inspiring real life. So let's twirl.
Wow. Those are some numbers that are pretty shocking, Stephanie, when you really think about it.
Yes. I mean, it's something that I don't think the average person gets to see if they're paying attention to CNN or MSN or any of those.
That's right. I mean, we hear about the border crisis, but we really don't. What does that mean?
Right.
I mean, that last, a few weeks ago, you and I talked to somebody who was working with people, addicts, fentanyl, and the fentanyl crisis in the streets of Kensington, Philadelphia. And then you read that number that they've seized. And this is just what they've seized.
Right.
27,000 pounds of fentanyl, enough to kill 6 billion people.
We are in trouble.
I would say so. And again, some of those numbers you mentioned, what was that? 178.
Be accurate.
Yes, I'm sorry. MS-13 gang. That's just who they caught. I mean,
right.
It's not that there are only 117 gang members
correct
around. That's just the few of the millions that they got.
Yes. And I think that most Americans, unless you're along the border and seeing a direct consequence from this, you're really not getting it. And I think that we have to really step back and question what is happening and why. And we've had this conversation kind of mildly with quite a few different people. We have little
right.
snippets here and there, but I think we had an extraordinary event recently, Kathy, that really put it into perspective for us.
That is true. And exactly what you said, we hear it, but it doesn't affect us because a lot of us aren't living in those border towns or seeing a direct, we live other places in the country and we hear it, but we just don't see it. And then we were reminded of this on a recent trip we took.
Yeah. So we decided to go to San Antonio and to see the Alamo.
That's right. Which was a first time for both of us.
Yes.
And we've heard the story, certainly, about what happened at the Alamo, but to see it and then to see some other things there, I think reinforced this need to protect our borders and why this is so important.
I found the, now let me be clear, I've always wanted to go to the Alamo, but never, I don't think I anticipated it having such a profound impact on the way I feel about immigration. I'm very pro-immigration. My grandmother immigrated from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
However, legally immigrated,
yes,
from Cuba. I had an acquaintance in my younger years who had been, who came to the U.S. when she was very young with her mom from France, had applied for, you know, residency for many, many years, and then 17 years old was forced to return to France because she could not get citizenship.
Wow.
So her whole life was uprooted. And for 17 years, or close to 17 years, they tried to do it the correct way and couldn't do it. So to see all of these people come across, and Julia's mother, just to clarify, was, teaching at a university.
Right.
She was productive, adding to our society and able to sustain herself. And here we are saying, nope, sorry, you can't be here, but let's let the gang members across the border. I've got a problem with that.
Yes, I think we all, if you say you don't have a problem with that, I just don't know if there's any help for you.
Well, I think we should deliver the illegal immigrants to the doors of each of the Biden supporters so that they can do their due diligence, get to know the people.
Because those people have little signs in their yard that,
yes,
say all are welcome in like,
yes,
7 different languages. Maybe we just start depositing. I mean, you know, like Governor Abbott.
I'm willing.
There you go.
I'm willing.
Because Governor Abbott in Texas has sent, you know, the busloads of them to here or there. And then I know that happened in Martha's Vineyard, you know, the very tolerant and kind people. And
yes,
the bus showed up and then they were like, no, but not here.
Right. Anywhere but here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So maybe that's, you know, a strategy. Instead of the buses to these sanctuary cities, we just deliver them to doorsteps of people who are.
So is it safe to say we're looking for volunteers?
Yes. I have a feeling, though, even in the most liberal among us, we won't have a lot of volunteers for that. Maybe some. There's a few. But, you know, it is a problem. And those numbers with the criminals and so forth. And it doesn't have to be that way. That's the thing. And as you mentioned, we're both pro-immigration because we got here because of our families. Absolutely. Came here.
How did your family get here?
Actually, the Anderson family came here in the late 1600s.
Oh, you're one of the old ones.
Yes. So we're old Americans, quote unquote.
Half of my family is old. Half of my family is new.
Yes. But they still came here from somewhere else. And I know we were talking about this recently. We forget kind of in our cell phone age, when they came here, they were like, when they said goodbye to their families, that was pretty much the last time you're going to see your family.
Right.
Because, you know, you weren't cell phones. You couldn't FaceTime and say, we made it to Boston or wherever, or Jamestown. That was pretty much it. So those people had a certain kind of, and still today, people that come and are willing to leave their home. And again, legally, we're making a big definition here,
yes,
defining that legal versus illegal. They're making a bold step to provide a better life for their children. And we don't, and future generations. And we've had a number of people on our show who've had that situation and have some others that we'll probably be featuring in the future. And that's a wonderful thing. But this is illegal and out of control and not monitored or, you know, in any way, shape or form.
Right. And I think that going back and just rediscovering a little bit of history can help people understand how important it is, and that this is not new, that we would be expecting people to come across legally. But there's always been laws in place to make sure that things were controlled and done in a way that allowed America to grow to what it is today and how great it is, because we absolutely believe in diversity. We think it adds to the culture. It enriches us. And I don't think that many people would argue that. I think it's what makes America so great is the diversity that we experience that is like nowhere in the world. And I say that having traveled many different parts of the world.
I agree 100%. Again, but to control it and to monitor it and also to protect the safety of the citizens in the country, because, you know, the numbers you read, the gang members, the apprehensions, again, just of what we know. And that's, you know, that's the duty of the government to protect its people, right?
Yes.
And that I don't think we're doing right now.
On any level.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm trying to think of a circumstance where the government has actually protected us at this point, and I'm failing to come up with an example. Can you think of one?
No. No. And I think we've been over this, that we're kind of on our own.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
We start planting your food.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Do all those things. Find your people.
Your government is not there for you.
No, don't plan on the government to come save you. So we look back into history to maybe, you know, they always say those who do not learn from the history
are bound to repeat it.
Yes. Or doomed to repeat it.
Yes. However, I would say we are not repeating history because we're doing the exact opposite of what has been learned through history.
So we're going to talk about what they did in a historical context, or what we've just learned, and maybe what we should be employing today.
Correct. And I want to say also that 1836, it seems like so long ago, but in fact, this is only really, you know, how many generations back?
Right. This is the Alamo we're talking about.
This is the Alamo. So I can tell you, my big, not a secret, but I am, you know, Sam Houston was a great, I know.
Okay. Go ahead. Say it.
Is a great, 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 maybe another great uncle of mine. And my great aunt, who is turning 100 this year, actually would talk to my uncle, David Houston, about Sam Houston. So for me, the stories are only two generations off.
So I just I want to put a disclaimer here, because we were going to talk about a recent visit to Texas, a friend invited us to visit. And we've got to visit Austin and San Antonio, which were two new places for us to go to. Stephanie was on a quest to find every picture statue of Sam Houston that she could find and then take pictures. And at one point was pointing out to us the cheekbones and jawbone that she feels that she bears in resemblance to her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-uncle.
Oh, it absolutely does. I checked with my mother.
Did you? So she said it.
She said it. Yes, she said
because no mother would ever say, oh, I don't think that
I'm
looks
telling you, okay. It's there.
All right. So this is what we went through. That was just a little sidebar of what our visit to Texas entailed constantly. However, so we went to the Alamo and neither of us had ever been there.
Correct.
I even had to have a refresher. We saw a little movie, which was a good refresher of what happened there versus just visiting.
Yes, the physical structure. A 48-minute movie pre-visitation.
Yes, highly recommended.
Highly recommended because I don't think most people really know. Well, I know I didn't. Let me say that. Like, I didn't even know Davy Crockett died at the Alamo.
Oh, I knew that.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Yes. So should give a little background if someone's listening and saying, what was that story again? Santa Anna was the Mexican
general.
Dictator. Yes, self-proclaimed dictator. And was on a quest to attack the Alamo and bring forces up to that area. And there were just 150 or so.
And it's because he decided that he wasn't going to follow the agreement between Texas and Mexico. So I think it's important to say that. So they had a constitution that was valid up until General Santa Anna took over.
Right.
And he decided that he, you know, there was basically oppression happening kind of like today.
Yes.
And
not willing to follow the rule of law. But,
correct.
You know, just, okay.
And so the Texans decided to take action against, and is actually against the advice of Sam Houston, because it was such a small number of men who could gather at the Alamo and defend it comparatively to the troops of Mexico.
Right. And the people that were in the Alamo, the soldiers and volunteers and so forth, they did try to summon the army to help them, but the army said, we can't move from our position of other things they were doing. So they quickly realized we're on our own against this large army of Santa Anna who was prepared to attack them.
Right.
In this fort out in San Antonio, Texas.
And so 200 men decided to stay at the Alamo knowing that they were basically going to their death.
And they basically gave them the option, should they want to leave, they were given that option. And from
choice is good. I'm all about informed consent.
Yes, there you go. And one did leave and the rest chose to stay, realizing that they were probably not going to make it. So they stayed to defend their country. They had a rallying cry, which was victory or death.
Yep.
And on they went. And so the battle commenced and there was a siege for 13 days until the final onslaught and the attack by Santa Anna on the Americans.
Yes. And so it was, you know, that February 23rd to March 6th in 1836. And they were, but they, now the numbers are not clear. So I was trying to find the exact number of soldiers within Santa Anna's army. And it was somewhere between 1,800 and 6,000. So these guys knew.
Either way, they were vastly outnumbered.
Yes.
And there were, interestingly enough, there were even some people in the Alamo of Mexican descent who did not agree with Santa Anna and you know, did not like him as their governing official of their country. So they were actually, there were a few, and I did not know that. I learned that from our visit. There were a few Mexican Americans, if you want to say that, or Mexicans in the Alamo who were there defending the Alamo with the Americans.
Yeah. And we actually got to see some of those descendants.
Yes.
Which was interesting.
We were there on a day where one of those descendants, because we asked what was going on, the descendants of one of those gentlemen who had died at the Alamo, who was a Mexican, was there celebrating. And I don't remember his name, but they have that special
day. Is it like
the
Soya or something, I thought? Or maybe not.
That. Okay. Say that. But they were there celebrating. So that was pretty cool to see these family members, you know, generations removed. They're celebrating his legacy in honor of helping to defend the Alamo. So that's what happened. They ended up, all of the people died. There were some women and children who were there. And they did allow them to live.
For one reason and one reason yep. only, because every soldier was killed. No Correct. Man, there was, it was a take no prisoner situation.
They killed them and burned them.
Yes.
Burned the bodies. Yes. So the women and children that were spared purely, as you said, for one reason, to go back and say, to tell the Americans to give, strike fear into them.
Yes. And they were actually sent to Sam Houston's regiment to tell them what happened and to say, this is what's going to happen to you if you continue to go against Mexico.
Correct. Correct.
Which to me reminds me of some happenings of what's going on today within the political parties and whatnot. And I know that a lot of people say, well, that's a bit of a stretch. However, I mean, really, we're just a different form of military action, right? To oppress people, to oppress politics, to basically put us into Venezuela or Cuba.
Right.
Because of the current actions being taken.
Well, and that's true. Fear is a powerful motivator. So, you know, we had Representative Scott Perry on a few months ago, whose phone was taken by the FBI or, you know, by the Justice Department, or whatever. And all of these different, even President Trump, the lawsuits and the warfare by legal action, you might say.
Yes.
You know, and we had someone on from Cuba who mentioned that the first thing they took was real estate. So it's no small coincidence that they're going after President Trump and his real estate and his financial holdings.
Correct.
So it's a warfare of a, it's warfare as right. far as I'm concerned.
And it's, I think at this point, it's good to point out, what are the first, what's the first three things they take when they're trying to transition you to communism? It's real estate, guns.
And your Bibles.
And your Bibles.
Yes.
And what is happening in the U.S.?
Yes. My brother just came back from a mission trip to Cuba, and he talked to a lady who was there in her 80s, who had been a citizen and a teenager when Castro took over. And she told them that firsthand account, the first thing they took were their real estate, you know, private investment and so forth, private ownership, and then guns and Bibles. So they want our faith. They want our opportunity to defend ourselves and that self-sufficiency. And so that everything is dependent on the government.
Yep, absolutely.
And motivate by fear, just like good old Santa Anna back in the 1800s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what happened was, you know, they sent the women and children on to tell the story, to put fear into people. But instead, it really fueled a fire. And what's interesting is Sam Houston, in April 21st, with only 800 men, went up against Santa Anna with their 1,500 men and won.
They defeated him.
They defeated him, which I would just want to say you're welcome for my genealogy.
Oh my, she's back on that sheet. So pretty much what Stephanie just told me and all of you listening is that it's pretty much her family who we all owe a debt of gratitude to, the Houston family, through Stephanie Coxon.
Thank you.
So, yes. But
that's what secured basically the Texan independence.
Yes.
And why, I mean, and honestly, when you stand in Texas, I'm like, I want to be a Texan.
Yes.
I felt very like, wow, this is incredible. These are patriots. These are people willing to stand. And it, you know, it did something to me, but I love what you happen to found in their historical records regarding immigration. If we go back to immigration.
Well,
I find this super interesting, Kathy. I think you took a picture, right?
Yeah. So at the Alamo, you go through and you see these things, and there's really not a whole lot to see. I mean, because it's a, you know, a structure.
It's a mission.
Yeah, it was a mission.
Yes.
And then converted into this fort, if you will. And it was redone a little bit in the early 1900s and so forth by the Army, who used it for storage and so forth. So there's not a ton there. But as we were walking through reading the timeline and so forth, there was a little thing I took a picture of. And this is kind of even Stephen Austin. Under the system, Austin granted permission to bring 300 families from the United States to Texas. So to start this little area, you know, this,
yes,
I don't know what you'll call it, state of Texas, if you will.
Territory,
right. There was controlled permission for 300 families to go to start this area. And I took a picture of that because that's how it, you know, just to even start Texas, 300 families, we're going to give, you know, do, this is what we're going to do.
It wasn't 301.
No, it was 300.
And they, did they have to be prime like humans or what?
That I do not know.
Okay.
But I would expect that if they said, hey, you're the people we're selecting to go set up this new community and so forth, I'm sure that they were people that had something to bring to the table. Wouldn't you think?
I would, I mean, based on Ellis Island and
Yes.
what those people did to get across or in, I would anticipate so.
And we had that conversation, you and I, as we walked through the Alamo, talking about Ellis Island, because we've been there as well and visited a lot of people at Ellis Island. Because I know sometimes the liberals bring that up, like, oh, well, Ellis Island, they turned a whole heck of a lot of people back.
They did. I mean, people were desperate. They were pitching their cheeks to give them more color.
Right. The eye hook for the conjunctivitis, they were scared to death of that, you know?
Yes.
But they realized that they needed to protect the people that were here, and that meant that maybe some people couldn't get in, and they had to have some valid, like, what were they going to do to contribute to society?
Right. So I think it's safe to say that pre-1900s, our government was actually protecting its citizens and doing its job.
Yes, and looking to the future of how are we going to better our communities and our neighborhoods by the people that we have coming in here that can work. They also came in expecting to work and to provide for their own families, not live off the government. And as we're doing now, hand them what, $10,000 in motel rooms and every single thing.
Well, it might be more because kids are actually losing part of their education to house these people. So your
Yes.
tax money that goes supposed to go to education, you're actually not getting it in some states now because of the illegal immigration.
Yes.
It's important to note.
Well, and yes, I think it was in New York where the kids were asked to stay home and do virtual learning. So they put the illegal immigrants in schools,
Correct. Yeah.
which seems to be a little not a good plan.
Not looking out for American
No.
citizens.
And you know, the thing is, I've seen that a lot of the even the people in the cities and so forth where these immigrants are being bused or going. I saw Chicago, people were outraged, typically liberal city council and so forth, because they're saying, hey, wait a second, you're doing this for these people, but not for our own citizens and taxpayers.
Right. We have people who are starving, can't make it, can't afford the grocery bills. You know, I was just reading on our community page. We have one person in our community who has $80 a month left over to buy her food. But yet we are housing and giving cards to these illegal immigrants. And for me, that's not where I want my tax money to go.
Correct.
It's just not. I am no longer in agreement with the US government. Not that I, and let me say this, probably I've never been, just didn't know it
Right, to this extent.
to this extent.
Well,
Right.
and it's also kind of thrown in our faces and just saying, you know, it's not good for anybody, but it has to stop if we're going to maintain our country.
We cannot keep it up at this point.
Yes, we can't sustain this. So that's well, we learned this and had a great look back in history and looking at the Alamo and learning from it and comparing it to other times in history.
Yeah, I want to dig in a little bit further how
Okay.
this relates to other things that are happening or things that are just going on in the US right now, because we've got to be aware of our history so that we can do the right thing. So after commercial break, let's come back to it.
Absolutely.
All of our shows go to podcast typically a day or two after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure you subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for us. You can find out more about our show and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu nav bar at americaoutloud.news under our shows or schedule. Then you'll be in the know.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to americaoutloud.shop. That's americaoutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's healthycell.com. Code out loud.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I just want to say that on our trip, once again, those Feel Right bars came through.
Yes.
I just want to say that, first of all, it was the perfect snack.
We packed a few and shared it with our friend. We went on a girls' weekend.
Yes, we did.
We did in Texas with one of our friends who lives there. And we gave a few to her because we needed those, you know, and you're traveling around, don't have time to, well, we had a very packed schedule.
Hugely. Yeah. We have a friend that overschedules, and
we did a lot of stuff in 48 hours.
We absolutely did. And your diet is always off when you're traveling. Like, you just always feel miserable. But, you know, one of the things that I learned about the Heal Right bars and why I've come to love them so much is the critical nutrients that are put in them. So you've got like 20 plus essential micronutrients that has blends of vitamins and minerals. You've got soluble and insoluble fiber. You've got DHA, proteins, amino acids, omega-3 fatty acids. Literally, you've got building blocks of cellular, metabolic, and microbiome health. So even when I'm eating off, these bars are keeping me on track. And to say that, you know, it again, it's so difficult. We don't have the opportunity to cook for us or anything like that. And this was a wonderful, easy way to keep my body feeling good.
And they come in 4 flavors. So we took some of each flavor. And then when our friend said, which one do you have? I said, hey, here, try this one, the peanut butter one or the caramel, I think that's apple fig, the chocolate one, you know. Yeah. So I don't think we had the black. No, I think we had one of the lemon. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I love the lemon blueberry and the...
Isn't it lemon blackberry? No?
Oh, well, whatever it is, I love it.
Lemon berry, we'll just say that.
Lemon berry. Okay, yeah, we're totally butchering that. And the chocolate pomegranate is my other favorite.
Yes, we had some of those along as well. So
Yeah, they were delicious.
Yes. So they accompany us on our travels through Texas.
So if you want to try them, they are on, you can find them in the store And you
and
get
through America Out Loud.
And through America Out Loud store. Well, that's what I meant. Through the because you can get a discount if you go through America Out Loud.
Yeah.
So people don't realize that. So make sure that you're getting your discount by going through America Out Loud.
Summer vacations are coming up. Pack your heel right bars.
Yes.
So on we go, visiting Texas and visiting the Alamo and so forth. And there were a couple of things and points, the things that I've thought about since we visited. Do you have the same with that? Some thoughts as we, you know, what we learned.
And
we did. I mean, it was a great refresher and things we had never seen before. But I thought, you know, that I actually bought this t-shirt. They had this rallying cry, victory or death.
Yes.
And I bought, that's the t-shirt I bought because
I don't do t-shirts.
I know you don't, but I bought that t-shirt because I want to remind myself because I think it's so easy to forget. First of all, the tremendous sacrifice that has been not just at the Alamo, but in general through people that have served our military and so forth throughout the past 200 plus years of our country, so much sacrifice that it's given us the freedom that we often take for granted.
Yeah. And when you look at the Alamo really is that enduring symbol of their resistance to oppression and their struggle for independence. And that's what we're fighting for. We are being oppressed. We are being, you know, our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights are being taken away from us. And we're allowing this to happen. And
whereas these guys said,
absolutely not.
So important. And we are give our life for it.
Yes.
Leaving families and so forth.
Yes.
For their country. And, you know, I think the other thing, you know, so the guys at the Alamo all died. You know, they
every single one.
Every single one of them. They died. But what I impressed upon me is while they, you say, oh, it was in vain. It was not because their death and their stand, I mean, they did the best they could have done with the small group that they had, set up the rallying cry for victory a short time later.
With who at the helm?
Sam Houston.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
There we go. Stephanie's family members. So thank you, Stephanie. But that set up. So I say that because a lot of times, don't we feel like, is this? And we're not asked to defend the Alamo yet. I mean, we're asked to like vote, volunteer, go door to door for a candidate or whatever, and we think, oh, it's too hard. It's in vain.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I feel like there is a little to me. If you are a patriot, if you believe in what the U.S.
That's
stands
a great word,
for,
patriot. Yeah,
you know. Looking at what is happening to President Trump and the, you know, if you're able to get on that jury and take it, because this is criminal what they're doing. This is communist. This is a banana republic that they are setting up for us. You cannot take out your political opponents and all of their friends literally by taking them to the court over and over and over again.
Right.
I mean, this is just...
And trying to bankrupt them.
Yes. So there's things that we can do at all levels. I'm not telling people to go and get your muskets and line up, right?
Right.
But I'm saying where you can stand, you need to stand. And so if that means that you're on a jury and you believe in what our Constitution is...
And the rule of law.
And the rule of law, then you need to make sure that you are you know... abiding by that,
right?
For anyone, not just Trump, anyone who's in that situation, our government does not have a right to take away our real estate. We need to get that back.
Yes.
We need to get that back at this point.
Well, and what we do today, there again, sets the stage for what happens to,
I always
think about the kids. I have young adults who, my kids are young adults. They'll soon probably be starting families in the future. So I'll have grandchildren at some point, although I want to be a really cool grandma. So I have to think of a name other than grandma that they can call me because I want to be cool.
Do you really think you're going to be cool?
Well, yes, I believe.
With your t-shirts?
Yes, with my victory or death t-shirt, I am going to be super cool. So anywho, I often think what I do today impacts my kids' life and the quality of their lives and my grandchildren and so on.
And to that point... Because of what they did at the Alamo and holding off Santa Ana for those 13 days,
yes.
It allowed Sam Houston to gather and come and then demolish
he
him.
Regathered the army.
Yes.
Right? And got together.
And
yes.
Didn't he crush them in like 18 minutes or something? Or
yes.
It was something crazy. So,
and they were outnumbered then too.
And they were vastly outnumbered. It was 800 to 1500. They, you know, basically 2 to 1. And within 18 minutes, he was able to squash them. So it was not in vain that it happened. What it does is it sets up, when we stand up, it sets up an opportunity for other people to do the same thing. So we may not see what the consequence is going to be, whether good or bad. We may not see it, but there will be a reaction to the action as long as you take action.
Absolutely. And there has to be, I think we've talked about, we have a women's group. We celebrated the, what's called the first follower kind of phenomenon.
Yeah.
There's the person who stands up, but then the really important person is the person who is the first one to step out and say, yes, I'm going along with this as well, because that gives all the other people in the crowd the kind of guts to do the same.
Yeah. It gives people courage. Right.
And I think also the thing when we were watching that IMAX movie of the Alamo that impressed upon me, those people had a passion for what they were doing. The founding fathers of our country, going back to the Revolutionary War, they had a passion for a free country, for freedom of faith, for the opportunity to succeed. You know, the settlers who went across the country, they had a passion for, they were willing to leave everything to go find land and set up and make a life. And passion can win.
Yes.
Mexicans, I don't think, well, of course it was the IMAX movie. So
we don't know what their passion really was.
We don't know what their passion was, but there's a difference a lot of times in soldiers that are just going along to go along versus those that have a true passion for what they're doing and believe in what they're doing.
You know, what really would have been interesting and what I did not think about before this show is, you know, looking through not that I can read Spanish, but looking through Mexican literature and looking at their side of the story.
That's true.
I feel
like it might be a little different.
Yeah. And it's probably important to the overall story of what we're talking about today.
And that's normal. I mean, when I was a kid, we visited historical sites on every vacation. So we went all up and down the East Coast, and even how the Civil War was portrayed in the Southern
Is much different.
It's much different than, you know, in the Northern Gettysburg and so forth.
Because the winners write the history.
Right. That's right. And that's what we want to be, winners. And we want to write the history.
Although I believe in writing truth as the history.
Yes, well, absolutely. But as opposed to what we see today, a lot of revisionist history.
Correct. Yes.
Or the let's remove the statue and pretend it never happened.
Correct. Or don't fly the flag of the greatest nation in the world to not offend someone because we've done so well with our cultural diversity. And with the way that we have created an environment that allows everyone, and I mean that everyone, to thrive with your own effort.
Right. It's the opportunities to succeed. It's not, you have the freedom to succeed, but that also, it means the freedom to fail. So, you know, when you take a risk.
And make bad decisions.
Make bad decisions, you're right. So we can't, you know, sometimes... we can't say that you're going to be successful and we're going to give you this money. And if you don't, we're going to bail you out. That's the advantage of risk. You take risks.
Are you talking about the car bailouts of the early 2000s?
That's part of that too, whether it's companies,
I completely agree.
The banks too big to fail, quote unquote.
Right. I don't think any of that. It's not our place as taxpayers to bail those people out. Their business failed because of their policies. And they should go under and let other companies rise who are able to handle it.
Right, right. Because there has to be some consequences for bad behavior and bad decisions.
Absolutely.
And if there isn't, then those things continue and things continue to.
Well, now you're getting into the problem with our
sense.
Well, now you're just getting into the problems we have with our youth these days of no consequences. And
well, I actually thought about that going back to the Alamo. I was thinking, and I even hate to bring this up because I was thinking, do we today, our youth, our young people, do we have the resilience and kind of nerve, spine? Do we have that today to withstand against an attack per se?
No, they're gonna go to their safe space. We're in trouble.
That's what I mean. Our
most valuable, you know, who are, and I want to say the strength of these kids, right? Like if you get into the 16 to 25 year old, like they've got the endurance, they've got everything going for them. Their bodies are not breaking down quite yet. You know, they can still go to bed and not wake up with a kink in the neck. And yet they're probably going to be dyeing their hair, getting a cat litter box and going to the corner and crying. And that scares me for our future as well. But I want to say my kids are not like that.
No, and there are a lot of people like that, but
I've got five.
Yeah. Oh, I have two, but it's a big concern because I think that, and that all goes into so many things. I mean, the school system, we've had numerous shows about education.
Yes.
We have to develop young people that have some grit.
Yes.
That have, and we can't remove.
And integrity.
Yes. Yes. That's a good one. That's a great word.
Yes. Because right now I feel like we're raising people without integrity. It's a very impulsive, very over-sexualized, no consequence type of world that we live in.
The participation trophy generation.
Yes. Yes. Everyone gets an award. Yes. You didn't do anything, but here's your trophy.
Yes. I have to share this. My daughter one time was in a club and she just refused. It was like a church club thing. She refused to do what she was supposed to do with memorizing her Bible verses and so forth. And I said, you're not going to get the awards. Well, when you know it, when they had the awards night, the little patches and whatever they couldn't get, she still got a certificate of participation. I was irritated that the church.
Did you take it away?
Oh. I was
you took it away.
No, I didn't take it away. But when we left, I said to her, I said, she's like, look, I got a little paper, you know? And I said, you know what? That little paper only means that I drove you to the program at once a week.
It doesn't mean anything. So it was your paper.
Yes. So I say that. And some people say, oh my word, you're harsh. The next year, guess what she did? She did the actual work. She earned the patches or whatever they could do. And you know what she said to me when we walked out? Of course, we didn't have that conversation then because she was doing the work.
Yeah.
She said to me, that feels a lot better than last year. She realized that doing the work and the struggle and so forth, actually, when she got the award, it was because she had done the work and withstood the challenge. And that's what I think is a disservice to kids to give these participation trophies to make them feel good.
Can you imagine
if they're given? They feel bad sometimes.
Can you imagine if we gave participation trophies to those who were in the Alamo?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't have been able to receive it because they were
good
dead.
Point.
But, there has to be some grit. I mean, in just to get through life, but then also when we're confronted with something really big, like for heaven, God forbid, a war.
Right.
We call the World War II generation what? The greatest generation.
Yes.
Because of what they withstood and really saved the world, not just the country, but the world.
Right now, when we have, 3.2 million illegal immigrants coming across the border just in 2023, where a lot of them are not tracked, where they're coming over as independent males that...
Yes, you see a lot of that on the pictures.
Yes.
A lot of guys.
Yes, yeah. It's not women and children, families trying to actually leave, their countries. You have to wonder, and a lot of military strategists have said we're really set up for an internal attack because of this policy. And who is going to be there? Because our World War II veterans are no longer with us to protect us. And I don't have the faith in the younger generation. I mean, I'm sure there's some because I know my kids are awesome, but.
Right. And I know many people in the military who are serving and we thank them so much for their service
absolutely.
And doing the right thing. So we're not saying this is a carte blanche, but I think recruiting for the military and the numbers that they need are down like 40%. I've heard in some cases, that people aren't joining the military.
Well, I wouldn't sign the papers for my one child that asked to, because I don't believe that you give your body over to the military and allow them, carte blanche the vaccinations and everything else. Like they're destroying the mandates. They're destroying you before you ever even enter. And what they're fighting for are made up wars. A lot of times it's not really to protect us. And so I'm like, how do you support that?
Right.
And every person, literally every generation, of my family, someone has been in the military. We are a big military supporting family. That's how my grandfather, he became a doctor from it. So I very pro-military until this point, especially watching what the military did to its own people during COVID.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
Yes, absolutely. Forcing them to submit themselves to an experiment. And we've had some folks on, again, on past shows talk about that. And you had said, you know, with all, what was it, the number 3.2 million illegals and 35,000 again of,
with criminal conviction. Yeah.
Yes. 179, I think it were, are
178.
On
you keep on trying to add one.
I guess it just, you know,
every time
for the effect of like maybe like Main Street. Or
like CNN.
Yeah.
You're going to be CNN here.
Yeah. Just like throw numbers around.
There you go. Yes.
But you have these people coming across and they present a threat, you know, 178. I was going to say it again, 179. People that are on
maybe
the terrorist,
that's because you know,
list.
Maybe you know one, you're like, I just got to throw them in there.
I could be. But these are people that are on the terrorist watch list and they're running around the country.
Yeah.
And we've had numerous guests. I go back to old shows because I learned so much from the people that we have on here who've said with military backgrounds that we are setting us up for something that makes 9/11 pale in comparison.
Yes.
Because we've allowed them to come in here. And it's quite frightening. It's very frightening.
Thank the current White House occupants.
There, thank you. That's what I call our current White House.
I didn't say it because I didn't want to offend you.
I know. That's the term I use because I just can't bring myself to say the President of the United States.
But yet you still refer to former President Trump as President Trump.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So, we have to do something. We have to stand up. And the way we can do that, we do have an election coming up. If anyone's unaware of that, we need to make our voices heard at the ballot box.
And I think in this time period, every person needs to show up. Every person. The only way we're going to beat this is by every person showing up and voting so that they cannot, you know, if there's only 300 million people in the US, they can't put 400 million votes in the boxes, right?
Yes.
There's got to be, so we all have to show up to make this work and to take this down.
And I know people sometimes think my vote doesn't matter or what have you, but it really, really does. Locally, the community where we live, an entire commissioners, the county commissioners was flipped from Republican to Democrat because of 68 votes. 68 votes. So you think about it. If you're,
you mean 69? I'm just joking.
Just add another one.
Just add one more.
Yes. But you think about it. If you go to a church and you have 1,000 people in your church, 68 people of maybe like-minded friends, that's all it took. Or those are the, you, those are the votes you needed.
You don't even need a church for that. It can be the place you work. It could be the grocery store you go to.
Your friend group or whatever.
Heck, if you show up at a Starbucks, there's probably 68 people at a Starbucks.
But they might not all be voting or like-minded.
That's
like
true.
You.
People at Starbucks stay home.
Church, because hopefully there's some more people there that think like you might think.
If you're going to church, then you're considered a Christian nationalist extremist at this point.
That's
so you do need to vote if you don't want to be called a Christian nationalist extremist.
Right. But you do need to stand up. And that's an example of an entire balance of power. Now people are going, oh, no, no, no. Well, 68 of you should have gone out and voted.
That's exactly right.
So we all have to do our part.
Now, if it was 68, was that to make it even or is that to win?
I think they won by 68. So
you need
69 votes. You got it. And they're the one time I didn't add one on. We actually needed that extra one. So that's the least you can do is make sure you're registered and then go out and vote. But the other things you can do, again, the guys at the Alamo had their guns and their cannons and so forth and were willing to give their lives before it even started. The other thing you can do is help people if you know a candidate that you like. Or want to, whether it's a board member, local state representative, senator,
donate directly. Do not go through these programs that are collecting money because they can divert the funds however they want. And we saw that with the last election. It happened in our gubernatorial race in Pennsylvania. California.
Oh, yes.
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 But so anyway, so the gubernatorial race in PA, a lot of the funds that people thought they were donating to our Republican
candidate
was actually diverted to other states. And that was a big factor. So you do want to donate directly to the person that you're supporting. Do not go through GOP groups. Do not go through anything.
Not the party,
nothing. Only through that particular person. So that's one of the biggest things I can tell people to do.
And that is important. I know some people say, oh, it's not about the money. It is to a large extent, because the candidates today, the way elections are run, they do need the funds to get their message out there. A lot of conservative candidates and so forth, social media and so forth, if you're conservative, you know, you get way down, the analytics push you way down as you try to get your message out.
Yes.
Or even downright take you out of the picture. So they do need the support to share their message, get printed materials, get that information out to voters.
Yes. And if you can't donate money, then it's sharing on social media as much as you can. It is going door to door or having conversations with your friends and even having hard conversations, because there's going to be things that you disagree on with the candidate, but have conversations about places where you align and about the changes that perhaps you can make because of the value system of the candidate or the friend or whatever else.
Right.
But
it can make a difference.
It can make a difference. Absolutely. One conversation at a time can make a difference.
But if you don't either initiate the conversation or respond, a lot of times I think those things, because other people are mouth off about their opinion quite readily.
Well, that's because we mouth off about.
Well, yes. But so I'm talking about some of us are a little more shy and might think, oh, I don't want to cause waves. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get involved or talk about politics or so forth. You have to. You have to.
My husband's one of those. He's like, I don't like politics. I'm not getting involved. And I get so infuriated. And because he doesn't listen to this, it's infuriating, because if you're saying that, I tell him this all the time, every business decision you make is political. Because
yes.
The taxes that you pay, the regulations you have to follow, it doesn't matter. You going to church is political. They try to shut churches down in COVID. If you want to be able to grow a business, start a business, you've got to be political. Everything, every single right you have involves politics. You cannot be apolitical and survive.
That's correct. Because it affects your life.
And ours.
Yes, it affects your life. It affects the lives. I'm going to go back to this every single time, the lives of your children and future generations. There's no one, that woman that my brother talked to in Cuba, who said that Castro, when they came in, they took their Bibles, guns, and real estate. She also said, every day since that happened of my 80 plus years, that next day has been worse than the day before. Who would want that for their kids? Who would say, I hope every day of my kids' lives is worse than the day before?
Well, I mean, that's what the environment Biden created for his kids.
Yes, but you wouldn't say that. You're worried about giving them a participation trophy so that they don't feel bad because they lost the soccer game, and you don't keep score in the soccer game so they don't feel bad. But yet you're willing to give them a weakened, dangerous country and without freedom. Do you want to do that? I don't want to do that.
I personally don't, but
no.
We have a lot of people apparently who do.
Right. But that's why we have to speak up. And that's why we have to share this. And we have to remember, and like stories like the Alamo, we have to go back. You know, I challenge anyone, go visit. When we were there, we should every kid in America should come see this and hear this story. But that's wherever you live. I mean, everyone can't travel to San Antonio probably, but if Philadelphia, you know, where the founding fathers, where they signed the Constitution, they all thought that they were going to lose everything.
And some of them did.
Oh, yes. Some of them lost everything. But they were still, the idea of freedom and opportunity was still so incredibly valuable that they were willing to do that.
Absolutely.
So go visit those places. Take your kids.
Learn the history that they've not been able to take out. You know, it's one thing. They can change history in books. It's pretty easy, or online. I don't like online sources because it's just so easy to write whatever. It's much harder to take it off of a plaque that's been at a historical site.
Right. To go right to the site. And I think, though, personally, too, that makes it just a little, you can read it, yes, but when you see it, even watching that IMAX movie, and you see it in person, you know, one of our friends said, oh, that was a little violent. It was, because they were butchered.
Yes.
Really. You know, they were murdered and butchered. But it's so important that we know that so that we can protect it for future generations.
And know that that's what's currently being allowed.
Correct.
To come across, because they're creating an internal war. But instead of being on the outside of the Alamo, they've got enemies within the borders, and that's even more dangerous.
That's right. That's right. The Alamo, they had to go through the walls.
They had to go through. There are no walls now.
No, they're here.
Are you scared now? Did that just hit you?
No, I'm not scared. I think I get more angry than I do scared, because I get angry that people don't see it. And I get angry that people just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, doesn't affect me.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to watch what's happening to our country because of people being very content sitting at home watching TV. Or what really gets me are the people who are on their video games all the time and just ignoring what life is or what life should be.
Yes, the video game culture is, I think that's a form, and we should probably do a whole nother show on that. That's an addiction, I believe, in today's society.
Oh, absolutely.
As much as drugs or alcohol or anything else, the video gaming.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother thing.
That's a whole, we've hit so many different topics.
Yes, yes.
I can't believe the Alamo even relates to video gamers, but here we are.
Yes, but I don't think they had the option, those guys in the Alamo, to play. I don't even know. This will be giving my age away. I played Pac-Man. So I don't think they're playing Pac-Man anymore. I don't even know what they play, but it's not Pac-Man.
It is not Pac-Man.
No, sorry. But yeah.
But in this day and age, when we need people to be there to stand up, even when it's uncomfortable, when there is an internal war coming that you're not paying attention to because you're afraid to be political, we want you to remember the Alamo. We want you to remember that it is a symbol of the resistance to oppression, the oppression that we are getting here in the U.S. from our own government. And it's their struggle for independence. And it was their gift to us for future generations.
And their sacrifice ultimately led to victory and the state of Texas.
And so with that, remember, wherever you are and to the extent that you are able, stand up, step forward, and speak out.